Mr. Hull, how are you?
I'm fine. Who's this, Ryan?
Yeah, this is Ryan. How are you, sir?
How are you, guys? Jerry Pinder's nephew, I think.
You played with my uncle in Chicago.
What's that?
People don't know this. You played with my uncle. No one knows who my uncle is. Everyone knows who the Golden Jet is, though.
And they know Jerry Pinder, too.
Talking
with you, Ryan.
Hey, big game tonight. I know you'll be there. You seem to be at most of them. We see you on the tube all the time. How wound up is that building going to be?
Well, it's going to be a madhouse, and rightfully so. I'm very disappointed in the way the team finished last game, but not disappointed in the way Johnny Taylor's took charge, and he said, we are not going to lose this game in regulation. And he took charge and put the Blackhawks even with Anaheim, and it was a Herculean effort on his part, and it's just a shame that a glaring mistake had to cost them the game in the first shift of overtime.
It was a wild one because Anaheim was up 3-0 early. This series has been filled with major turns and twists. I don't know that I've sort of seen vulnerability in the Hawks like I have in this series. They're really relying heavily on four defensemen, and the Ducks have done a good job of getting physical with the Hawks. I don't know that we've seen them in tough like this before.
Well, it's pretty hard to catch somebody if you can't hit them. I should say it's pretty hard to hit them if you can't catch them. And when the Blackhawks are skating, no one can catch them. And I believe there some parts of their game that have come about that shouldn't have. You got to get ready to play every game. You got to get yourself up and get the adrenaline flowing before every game. You can't go out there flat, especially this time of year. And if you do, things will happen, like a 3-0 lead for Anaheim at the beginning of the game. That puts you behind the eight ball, and it takes a lot of effort to come back after three goals. But the Blackhawks did it, and again, to start overtime, they were flat again, and they had the wrong people out there, and this is what happens.
Yeah.
It reminds me a little bit of 1971. In the third period, when we had the Montreal Canadiens down 2-0, and I hit the crossbar, it went up instead of down, but we were still leading by two, and got the wrong people out there at the wrong time and three different times, and it cost us three goals.
You won the Cup in '61. You have two Hart trophies, three Art Rosses, and the number 9 is retired in three buildings: Winnipeg, Arizona, and of course Chicago. What do you think the ceiling is for Kane and Taves? You think they'll have plaques next to yours in the Hall of Fame when their careers are done?
There's no doubt about it. When these kids get finished, they will be so proud to have their banners lifted to the ceiling like Mr. Makita and Hall and Esposito and Magnuson and Palatini, and they are two magnificent young players that Chicago is very fortunate to have, and the hockey world is fortunate to be able to watch them. You see what Patrick Kane can do when he's hot. When he's hot, he's like a pepper sprout, and when Johnny Taze takes over, he is the best player in the National Hockey League. So there will be no doubt in my mind, if nothing happens and they don't get hurt, they will be Hall of Famers, and they will have those jerseys of theirs hoisted up where the Pigeons are in the United Center.
The Pigeons. I didn't know they had pigeon issues there.
Oh, yeah. They have pigeons there just like they had in the old building.
Here's a question for you. We're chatting with Bobby Hull on the Jeff Blair Show. My name is Ryan Pinder, filling in. If you had someone had a gun to your head and they forced you, and you had to pick one of the two, Patrick Kane or Jonathan Taves, how in the world could you make that decision? I've been asking a lot of people, and rather than like split answers, no one even wants to answer because you feel like you're insulting one of the two guys. How could you pick between the two?
I would pull my knife and take both of them. And that's just, those two should not be separated. They are, as I said before, fantastic young players. And you forget that they've had, what, 7 or 8 years in the league already? And they've been, John has been captain since he was a pup. And Patrick, the same deal. And they've been starring since they were 17 or 18 years old. And I can kind of relate to that. I came into the league when I was 18, but was not ready. And took me a couple of years to realize how the game should be played. And these guys took off right from the beginning and led the Blackhawks and to 2 Stanley Cups. And they're on their way to a 3rd.
Taves is 27 and Kane turns 27 in the fall, and they've already both got over 500 points. It's incredible. Kane, a point per game in the playoffs. You mentioned Taves late. He's the leader. It's clear that he goes, they follow. Are you ever surprised? I mean, the legacy just grew. There's another chapter added to the book after that game 5 the other night.
Not surprised a bit. John has the mind and the outlook of a grown man when he was 20 years old. He never ever did anything wrong, never ever said anything wrong, but just was mature enough to take charge. And when they asked him to be captain, he was ready. Even at the young age that he took over, he was ready. He was a mature individual at a very young age and has done exactly and more than what the Blackhawks expected of them.
They've each won a Conn Smythe, 2-time Cup champions, obviously together, and those two on the ice have really helped turn the franchise around. But off the ice, Rocky Wirtz and John McDonough have been a big part of putting the Blackhawks back on the sports map in Chicago. Tell us about pre and post Rocky Wirtz taking over, because I imagine it's pretty different for you especially.
I believe in my own mind that Rocky Wirtz, late awake nights, waiting for the demise of his father so that he could take over the reins of the Chicago Blackhawks and do what should have been done 30 years before. I know that that's the kind of person he is. I've dealt with him for the last 6 or 8 years, and I know that Rocky Wirtz knew what should have been done years ago, and he couldn't wait to get a hold of the reins. To get rid of some of the dead wood that had gathered at the top, and get a new management, do what the fans wanted, and that was to have their home games televised. And, of course, getting John McKenna and McDonough and his group, Jay Blunk, et cetera, the greatest, the smartest marketing group that I've ever seen in my days. And with all this, they brought Scotty Bowman in to help Stan if he needed it. And then I believe they felt if they weren't proud of their past, they didn't have a future. And they came to the people like Stan Mikita, Tony Esposito, Denny Savard, and I. And we were, I believe, the icing on the cake. And as soon as the people, the hockey fans of the Chicago Blackhawks, around Chicago and the surrounding areas, Indiana, et cetera, as soon as they saw what they were doing, they flocked back in droves. And I think they've had sellouts in every one of their games in the last 8 or 10 years.
Wow. For you, that might not have been an easy decision, Bobby, because I feel like Rocky Wirtz's father wasn't exactly known for being the best guy to play for in pro sports, and maybe, in fact, on the other side of the list.
Well, neither was his old man, his grandfather. The pair of them were tougher than a night in jail in Detroit, and you could never rely on their word. And it wasn't until Rocky came along that you can rely on this man to do everything that's right for his Blackhawks and for the game of hockey and for everyone involved in the Chicago Blackhawks. I was in a world of my own when Rocky and John came to me and asked me to be part of the Blackhawks again, and I couldn't have been any more thrilled. I was just a nomad, had finished playing my playing career in the WHA, and I wasn't a Blackhawk, pardon me, and I wasn't a Jet, but all of a sudden I became a Blackhawk, and so proud of the to be associated with such a great, great organization that has done so much for the game and so much for the city of Chicago that you have to be around it to realize how important the Chicago Blackhawks are and the organization to the city of Chicago and surrounding areas.
A huge game six tonight, the Ducks and Hawks, 8 p.m. on CBC, and also right here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Ozzie and Stella, Kev, your pregame starting at 7. One final one for you, Bobby. I know just for me in the last couple of years, and I've watched a fraction of the hockey that you've seen, this seems to be the fastest I've ever seen the NHL in terms of a priority at speed. Guys aren't necessarily getting smaller, but they're certainly getting quicker. What have you noticed in the changes of the game over the last little while?
I've seen that happen because I believe the change in equipment. It seems to me that if I'd have been wearing the skates that the kids are wearing today, I'd have been out in Madison Avenue most of the time. I was a Zamboni because I couldn't get stopped. That's what happens to some of them. They talk about concussions and what have you. These skates and the equipment put them in position, pardon me, that they shouldn't be. And all of a sudden they have to do something foreign to the way they play to get out of the situation. And I think those whiplashes have caused a lot of this concern. And the equipment has been great, but the kids that they drafted have been wonderful. And these last eight teams in the playoffs, they can certainly be proud of the way that they've come on to represent their cities and their divisions in the National Hockey League. And it's great, great hockey to watch. And I'm proud to be able to come to every home game here in Chicago and holler my woes and my and my cheers for the great Chicago Blackhawks.
Bobby, do you have a bold prediction for us tonight? Game six at United Center.
I fearlessly predict that the Hawks are going to come out ready to play, and there will be a seventh game, and that's the one we'll have to watch at 6-5. Play the ice, everything's nice. 5-5 in Palestine, and they're still going in overtime. So you take your 6-5. Take your choice then.
I like it. I like the high scoring.
I gotta believe that those Blackhawks are the guys with the big hearts and the most character, and you'll see them in the finals playing for the Stanley Cup again this year.
Enjoy game six. It's going to be fun to watch, and we wish we could be there with you. Just an absolute pleasure catching up with a Hall of Famer again. Thanks, Bobby.
Thanks, guys. Good talking to you. Go Hawks.